mentioned this last time, but the first time we actually have that discussion, what tshuva really means, up until now we've only discussed this mitzvah to do tshuva. Really, the mitzvah is not to do tshuva, it's really to do vidur, to confess. We actually first now in Perek Beis, we read it last time, or two times ago, Beis, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, but he starts up now discussing what actually tshuva is. But he says, is a tshuva gemura, which implies right away that there is something called tshuva that's not gemura. You can do a non-complete tshuva, but what's called tshuva gemura? Zesher bal yado davar sh'avar bo. It's something very famous you've heard already, I'm sure, many times in your life, but we'll repeat it right now. Something comes your way that you violated in the past. Ve'esher b'yado lasos u'perish. And you could do it again if you wanted to. This time you opt not to do it. V'lo also na'achuva. But you didn't do it this time, not because of you're afraid of getting caught. You didn't do it because you feel bad, because you're trying to change your ways. Lo mi'yirav lo mi'kishlon koch. It's not because you're afraid. And it's not because you've lost the ability to do it, lost the desire to do it. And now he's going to give an example. Ketzad, what's an example of a scenario where you do real tshuva gemura? So as many cases he has, he'll discuss about a guy and a girl. Harishabal isha ba'avera. He sleeps with a woman one time, inappropriately, it's an avera. Ulva'achar zman nisyachet ima. And after a period of time, he's alone again with her. V'u'omi ba'ava soba. And he loves her the same way he loved her before. And again, he has different, same feelings he had for her last time. Ubekoach gufo, very important again, is that he has the same physical abilities and wants. If the person was 20 the first time and is 75 right now, it's not the same thing, obviously. Same level of ability. Uve Medina, and this is a very interesting line. Uve Medina sh'avarba. You're in the same city you were in last time. Who cares? Does it matter if you were in Colorado and now you're in in Seattle? Does it really matter? So it's, apparently, in order to do real tshuva gemura, it requires every single scenario place I've had the same exact time. Why would you think that'd be the case? Why do I need the same city?
Because I think a lot of times if you go to a place you did in Avera, it's like reminds you of the Avera.
Oh, good. So don't be saying here's something very important. If you ever been somewhere and whenever I tell Shanaf guys whenever they go back to America, I tell them always, if you want to learn somewhere in your house, go learn somewhere where you haven't yet been, you don't really hang out in your house so much. Because let's say it was in your room, you can't, even if you have a desk in your room, it's very hard to study in your room now, learn, because your room in the past was not used for learning usually. It's hard to go somewhere where you had experiences that were not so positive and all of a sudden turn around and have very positive experience in that same exact place. It's very challenging. So for a person to go through life and have an experience that happens somewhere and you go to that same exact place, like you feel it. You feel the level of tumah. And if you can go to that place again, and this time, uperish v'lo'avar, this time you separated, you didn't violate the crime, hu bal tshuva gemur, you're complete bal tshuva. Now here's the question. We know in life you're supposed to avoid tests. We have in the mission, the very first mission, we say asusiyag l'torah. So, which one is it? If I don't do, I don't get tshuva gemura unless same girl, same level of love, same interest, same ability, not going to get caught, same place. Tshuva gemura. If you this time you pass on it, so should you put yourself in a situation like that? You know the girl's coming to town. Should I stay in the same hotel I stayed last time, right next door to her, so I can this time not do it?
So you feel like it can't be planned, though.
Because if it's planned, then it's not the same like. Spontaneous moment where it happened last time. Yeah. Should I try to create environments for myself where the same challenge I had last time? Are we supposed to avoid challenges?
If that would work, yes. It would still not be the same scenario. Like you were saying that since you're setting it up, it makes it
last time was spontaneous. This time. So let's say something would happen. I mean, should I try? And again, I don't know if this means exactly to try, but should I somehow? Is my goal to attempt to find opportunities for tshuva gemura? Is that my goal? It sounds like over here, without that, you can't do tshuva gemura though. But we also know you're supposed to avoid these things, right? So how do we explain this seeming, I guess, paradox between trying to put ourselves in the path where we're most successful in life, asusiyag l'torah? At the same time, you know, again, some guys have told me before they went home for the summer, there are friends of theirs that they know they don't do well with, or the friends of theirs do things that aren't appropriate. And so really maybe what you should do is go with them. This time, when they're ready to do it, say, no, not for me this time. And you're like, tshuva gemura. I usually tell my students, you know what, don't go with them. Avoid the situation. So maybe I'm giving bad advice. I lose test tshuva gemura. So what do you think? Again, is the ultimate goal to do tshuva gemura? What do you think it is?
I'd say like first you should try to, like, if you are become to a place where that's not even like in your realm of thinking anymore. Like I don't know an example, but like if now like you're so beyond it, you'll never be in that position. I feel like that's also like maybe even a higher level. And if you have,
I mean, to never go back to the same place, choosing to is like. Can you have more than tshuva gemura? Is it possible to have even greater than tshuva gemura level? I mean, you're saying it's even more than this. Is tshuva gemura the ultimate tshuva? Could you have even more than tshuva gemura?
It sounds like maybe.
If I go, say I have a problem, there's a certain restaurant that I love. I love it, and it's not kosher. And I know for sure if I ever walk by the restaurant again, I'm gonna probably have to. I'm gonna fall and eat it. So I always take a different route, even longer sometimes. Is that it's a higher level to avoid the root? Is it even a greater level of tshuva to avoid the root than it is to pass the root this time and not do it?
No.
Sounds like it's not as good of a level of tshuva. It sounds like it's not. Tshuva gemur means that I would be mamish in the same exact place and I would pass. So which one is it? Do I want to create scenarios for myself when those things come up again? Or I want to try my hardest to avoid those things from happening? That's really the question we have right now on the table. And the Rambam over here says clearly, tshuva gemur is when the same thing would happen this time, I would pass on it. So I'll tell you what I personally think, and we'll see something that maybe to support it later on. You never put yourself in a situation to do it again. You never. However, because Baruch Hu knows, it's not, you may never know if you did tshuva gemur in your life. You may never even know. You should always avoid it. Always walk the other way. But Hashem knows how much you've done in your life to do tshuva gemur, that if you were in a situation once again, that you wouldn't fall this time. Now, should you do that again? Of course you shouldn't do it again. But the level of tshuva, that's tshuva gemur, is if it would have happened over again, this time you wouldn't do it. Again, it's an isra of yichud. I can't be alone with a woman again. So I'm not allowed to create a situation again if I want to. But you're so, set on your ways, you've changed so much that even if it would have happened, and only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, you never knows, of course, but your goal is to be doing tshuva in the level where it would be, in theory, a tshuva gemur. That's what Shlomo Melech says, Grush Amar Shlomo Amar, V'zachor es bor echa b'mei b'chur esecha. But this line that many people say, I mean, we'll see how it applies, but Shlomo Melech said, remember your creator when you're younger. Adashir lo yavo yamei hara. Before the days come when it's the quote-unquote bad days, which means you're older already in life and you can't even function that way, v'yigi ha'shanim asher tomar in b'mcheves. Until you get to the years when you'll say, I don't even want it anymore. The goal is not to just like tire yourself out of doing these bad things. That's not the goal. The goal is while you have that want to try to stop it. That's the goal. Again, if a person loses appetite for certain things, he's like, see, I'm done with this right now. You didn't do anything. You didn't do a proper tshuva. The key is to do a tshuva when you still have those wants. What happens if I wait till it's too late or till later in life? When I'm 75 years old, I stop. I start, I work on myself. By the time I'm 75, I don't have the desire anymore. At a time when I no longer can do what I used to do, even though it's not great, you don't get the true reward for this. You're still called a Baal Tshuva. Which means if at a certain stage of your life, before you pass on from this world, you've committed your life to not do this anymore, even though it's because you're past your prime and you can't do it if you want to, it's just too hard for you, that's considered, you're a Baal Tshuva, you're a complete Baal Tshuva. So maybe you'll say to me, oh, so great, so, I'll wait on it, I'll be a Baal Tshuva. So number one, it's true. The Rambam was going to later on talk about this topic, but you never know where you're going to go, so it's really hard to pull that move. But let's say most people live, so most people probably know before they die, at least within a period of time, Some, not everyone, but most people, if you caught that guy doing Krav Maga, in a bad alleyway, so maybe you wouldn't know in advance. But most people, doesn't happen to them, and therefore they wouldn't know.
At least
know
what to do now.
Yes, you know what to do. Okay, yeah. All right, I see. I saw that. That was good.
I'm going to use my powers for evil.
Nachas. Anyways, a person would be considered a Baal Tshuva. You would be considered, even if you waited this long in your life, you're a Baal Tshuva. Listen, afilu avar kol yama v'asa tshuva b'yom mitaso. Your entire life, you did things wrong, and the day you died, you did tshuva. That's why people have the custom of saying vidui before they pass on from this world. Umeis b'tshuvaso, and you die with tshuva on your lips. You never went back on that tshuva. Kol avon osav nimchalim. Then everything that you did is nimchal. It's wiped away. It's a clean slate. Now, it sounds pretty good. What would happen if someone lent you money to invest? And you had some terrible investments, and in the end, you made it all back. Just it all back. Nothing more than that. At the end of the 2-5 years, you're so proud of yourself, and you give him the money, and you give him the envelope, and he opens up the accounts, and he's like, what? Like, that's what I gave you. Yeah, but I gave it back too. So Kilo, nothing happened. So congratulations, you don't have nothing on your record anymore. But really, what it was a waste. It was a waste. It's true that you figured everything out in the end, and that's very, very important. But you didn't invest. There was no. If you gave your money to a hedge fund and they just gave it back to you 10 years later, besides the whole inflation thing, I didn't need that to happen. It didn't do anything for me at all. I could have held it myself. For a person, it's true in life you may be forgiven, but where's all the positives that you could have gotten out of it that you lost out on? Shneimar says Adasher lo. You can prove it here that if you do true at the end, you're still okay. Adasher lo techshach hashemesh vaor vayrech kamim. That if as long as the sun is not turned dark, or the light, or the stars, or the moon, v'shavu avim achar hageshem, and the clouds have gone on after the rainfall, which is referring to Yom Misa. I mean, as long as you got in for Yom Misa, What that means is if you remember your creator and you do tshuva before you die, it counts. Again, it's called tshuva me'ula, but not tshuva gemura. Me'ula means it works, but it's not tshuva gemura. It's not a complete level of tshuva. Again, it may sound enticing, but that means that you're giving God back the life he gave you. You know, thank you God for the $10, and here's $10 in return again. And you could have invested and made millions, if not billions. And you opted to give it back to him again. So, okay, so at least you didn't lose money. There's something to say to that. But still, it's not something that makes, you know, someone feel confident and comfortable with their investment in you. That's halacha. Halacha beis. Umai tshuva. Yeah, we mentioned this last, we read this already, but I'll read quickly again. What exactly is tshuva? How does one do tshuva? And I'm sure we've discussed it in the past around this topic. And there's a few steps to it. Hushiyazu v'chote cheto. Number one, you stop doing the crime. Number one. V'yasirenu machshavaso. This is a very hard one. And you stop thinking about it even. You put it out of your mind. Not only, you know, I stop doing it, but I'm like, oh, I wish. Then you stop wishing for it even. V'yigmor belibo shel yasod. And you commit it in your heart to not want to do it anymore. Shneimar says, quote, psukim, Yazov Rasha Darko, Ish Avin Machshavos Sav. The Rasha leaves his way, and the man of iniquity, again, of inappropriate behaviors, puts it out of his mind. Let's take a you know, example of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. So a person speaks Lashon Hara all the time. Then I say, you know what? It's not nice. I stop doing it. And then I'm like, it's like a terrible thing even. I don't even want to do it anymore. Like, it's such a low, you feel so low doing it. Even though at the time you do it, you feel good, but afterwards it's like such a negative thing. You feel so low. Someone does it to you, you feel terrible and do it to you. I don't even want to do it anymore. So that is a level of tshuva. And then the last part of here is something which is a very difficult part, and we can question whether or not you agree with it or not. V'chem yisnachem al sha'avar. I regret my past. I regret what I did in the past. Many people will tell you, certainly in this room, I can tell myself also, what you did when you were younger made you the person you are today. Right? If it wasn't for those days, if it wasn't what you did, you wouldn't be who you are today. Hopefully we're proud of who we are today. I should regret that. I should regret that I did those things. Those things made me, because I was able to do those things and have those things happen to me, and then I was able to rise above that, so I'm a better person now for it, aren't I? I should regret doing that in the end? So how do you view that? Do we regret? Do we not regret? What do you think? Yeah, Chad.
I heard that we're supposed to regret the fact that it happened, but be happy with, you know, the way you came out of it. Right.
Meaning, I wish that I could be the same person I am today without having gone through those moments. Right. I'm certainly not happy with what I did. I'm happy with what I became. I'm happy with who I am right now.
You regret the specific actions that you...
But I regret having to have done that to bring me to where I am today. I wish much more that I would have been who I am without having to have gone through that. Okay, good. Yes, what do you think?
I think that you should still say, like, objectively those things, like, I wish I never was a part of. Like, people say, like, oh, maybe who I am today, but, like, and then start thinking, like, then maybe that was okay, because maybe I'll send a few more times and I'll make me an even better person, but, like, I feel like that's a bad attitude.
True, not only that, but if you think what you're saying, maybe I'll be even better than I am today. What? Am I perfect right now? Am I as good as I want to be right now? Probably not. I'm proud of myself in some ways, but I'm not. If I had done those things, maybe I'd be better. I would have to overcome the challenges that I had to become who I am today, who I'm so proud of. I could have not even had those issues and been better than I am today, and then I'd even be prouder of myself. So again, I think Chad's right in one way, in that you should be very proud of yourselves, for sure. We've done a lot in our lives. We've succeeded a lot in our lives. We passed a lot of tests in our lives. And things that we did wrong is what brought us to here today. Halavai, as Chad said, we wouldn't have done those things, but we'd still be where we are today. But maybe even more than that, it's the same. If I hadn't even engaged in those things, I wouldn't be where I am. I'd be even better than where I am, perhaps. You know, just even as we talk about time waste, I mean, I still struggle for sure. It's time wasting, but you know, if you think for a second of your younger years, I don't imagine we would have been learning when we were younger. You know, even if we had taken advantage of our time more, but pretend we could have. Pretend we would have been turned on to life earlier. We got turned on to life. Maybe some of us when we were younger, when we were 18. What if you were 14? You know, I look at my kids right now. My kids are 14 years old, and they know more Torah for sure than I knew when I was 20, for sure. So I'm proud of where I was when I was 20. I overcame so many things, but I could have been like finished shots, maybe. That'd be a pretty good thing. So how quickly do I be proud of ourselves? Even though, again, I don't mean to depress us. Wherever we are right now, we're starting from this point where we are right now. But we certainly can look around us and feel like, you know, we could have been more perhaps even. One of the reasons why I moved to Israel is because, you know, I remember going to my Rebbeim's homes when I was in Yeshiva and seeing their kids. I thought to myself, how can I raise, not talking about you can do anything you want, I'm not judging. How can I raise my child in a place, and my Rebbe actually from high school, Rastavsky, my Rebbe from high school, was my Messiah Kedushin, so he was in Israel for a few years, and he had a son who was grew up in the system for the first 5-6 years, and he was coming home with Parsha Divrei Torah, and he was like really involved in the Shabbos table, and he went back to America for a year with the family, and he came back home after first grade, and he sang his family song, like, little baby Moshe, row your boat, something like that, you know, like when he was putting the table. And he's like, I can't believe that my kid came back last year, you know, spitting out Torah and knowing Pesukim in my heart, and now he's singing little jingles about Moshe, little baby Moshe, you know, it being put in the river. And he realized, like, we're, you know, and then he put his family back in Israel, and he stayed in America and commuted for a number of years. The point is that it's true that we've done so much, we're very proud of who we are. But look around you and see people who grew up differently than we did, and at our age, you know, we struggle with certain things that they don't struggle with anymore. And even though we're on the upswing, I hope, but we could have been on a different upswing and working on different things right now, which kind of we're stuck on. That you should regret, as it says, ki acharei shuvi nichamti, after I did tshuva, I have regrets. Acharei hodi sepakti al yerech, and after I was informed, I would hit my thigh, like chaval that I did these things even. And here's the part I mentioned earlier on, and here's the most important part. This is what I said earlier on. I think this is the proof for it. And the one who knows ta'alumos. Ta'alumos means the secrets, the hidden things. He can be ya'id. What's ya'id? He can testify regarding you that you won't do it anymore. And that's the key. It's not, you never know if you'll do it again. And you never know if the situation would arise if you do it again. But the one who knows those things, which is God, he can say about you, you wouldn't do it again. And that's really the stamp of proof that you need. And he quotes Bashan Emar, below Nemar, O Elokeinu Lamaaseh Adenu, Asher Bechai Yerucham Yitom. That's so. Vitzarach Lizvados Misvasav, and you need to Lizvados means you have to confess with your lips. Below Mar Anyanos Elo Shigamar Believer. You have to say out loud that which you already committed in your heart. We know that is the mitzvah of Tshuva, is to confess. Why is that so important? Why is it so important in the end? Why is that the deciding factor? Once I got to this stage, it sounds like over here it's not even Tshuva Gemura if I didn't do this part. We know the mitzvah of Vidoy is something more. But why can't, again, maybe it's not a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah maybe, but why isn't it complete tshuva without actually saying the words? Again, Vidoy is the mitzvah. But we know this, Vidoy and tshuva are two different things. If you remember, we said before, you do tshuva, and then you do Vidoy. Why is my tshuva lacking without a Vidoy even? Why is not a full tshuva that I can't say the words out loud? What do you think, Rafi?
Until you admit that you've done something wrong, like, say, I'm sorry all you want, but
good. If I'm in the position right now where I could say those words out loud and even hear it myself, have you ever talked to yourself? I'm not. If you do, something wrong with that? I think it's very, you know, it's unusual, but it also is very effective. There's a sefer I was learning with a student of mine named Yoel Pollack a number of years ago called Bivavi Mishkan Evne, and he pushes talking to yourself. He pushes it. He has both of this. He pushes talking to yourself, saying things as if you're talking to your friend. You believe God's brother says you like your friend. And you speak out loud and you hear what you're saying. You ever see the movie Spiesen?
Yeah.
So he has a conversation. It's not a mental thing. He's speaking to God out loud as if you can hear him like he's a friend of his. There's a certain level of like reality. I mentioned before, when all of your senses are pitching in, it makes it much more real. If you learn Torah with your eyes, or if Voli brings it down, when he talks about learning Gemara, if you only swallow the Gemara with your eyes, you don't have like a sing song. Amarava, you don't do that out loud, you just do it with the eyes. Then at the end, it's only a partial learning. Why? Because when you have your senses, all of them acting as one, you know, then it makes it much more, it makes you be able to ingrain it inside of you much more. If I can see, and I can hear it, and I could, you know, I could touch it, if it was a picture, the more part of your senses you involve and engage in a mitzvah, the more able you are to really embrace that mitzvah. That's why learning is like that. Tshuva, the same thing. To hear yourself say it is very significant. You had a question before, Chad, or no? Or Judah, you had a question before. Your hand up before.
I think I was just going to add that sometimes speech adds to halacha. Like the actual halacha aspect is speech is not just something that we do.
There are areas of halacha where speech is required.
It actually creates a halachic
reality. Halacha reality. Making a neder. It's not enough to mentally think about it. You have to actually state it. So sometimes we have the speech is a exactly, good, very good. If you're going to get engaged, Judah Wogenfeld, if you get engaged, 054. Yeah. All right, settle down. Yeah.
Going on the regret factor before.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily, you're supposed to regret your sins, yes. But you can't necessarily look at other people and regret that you didn't have that childhood because,
correct,
you know, you weren't brought up like that.
Right.
You weren't, and there was no possible way for you to even, like, be like that.
Correct. It's not a regret. It's the point I was raising before is that you realize there's so much more you could have been if you hadn't done, you know, what you did. You're not trying to be that guy. You're trying to be you, but you look at other people and you realize, my gosh, it's true I became who I am partly because of my sins, But if I regret my sins, it means that I would never have to have gone out of that. When I was teaching in Boca, in high school in Boca a long time ago, as a Rebbe for seniors, my goal, I'm embarrassed to even say this, my goal when I was teaching was that my students shouldn't be too like deep in it. When they got to Israel, there's so much they have to overcome to get back to like a regular baseline to be able to have the proper productive year. Can you imagine having a goal of yours that you know, you just want to keep them like from sinking too deeply? They shouldn't have too many things to do wrong.
It's not the worst thing to be too
deep. What's that? Okay. Judah Bokenfeld. Anyways, I think the point is that you know, you're trying your hardest to be the best person you can be. And one day they're going to show you the perfect you that could have been. We just want to be close to looking like a distant cousin of ours. My perfect me should look at distant cousin I'm going to be in the end of my life. It means I have resemblance to that perfect person. The more, I just give you, again, a more of a crude example. If a person would have a girlfriend when they're younger, and that relationship was very effective and important to them, and they grew a lot from it, and then they broke up, and it was an appropriate relationship. Anyways, when you get married, you're going to wish you never had that relationship. You're going to wish. I wish I wasn't involved with someone physically. I don't care what in the end you gain from that experience, and you gain a lot. But now looking on it and having opportunities now to be with someone for the rest of your life and having had an experience before that kind of taints that, so that'll always be a regret for you, no matter what you got out of it in the end. That's a girl and a girl. But why is the difference between you and you? Between where you could have been and where you ended up being. It's true that you grew a lot from it. But it means that part of your history has an inappropriate side to it. I don't care if it made you who you are. I have the same side. I don't care if it made me who I am, and it certainly did. But I could have been not with that and been better than I am right now. I don't look in the mirror and think, you know what? I couldn't be better than I am right now. I'm far from it.
But the bottom line is, you couldn't have been because of the way you started and the position.
That is not true. I couldn't have been maybe like the guy who grew up in Israel, but I could have been much better than I was. My parents aren't guilty of my crimes. I'm guilty of my crimes. My parents didn't want me. I snuck around with my parents behind the back. They didn't know what I did. They didn't raise me to do things wrong. They raised me in modern fashion. There were things that they would be, you know, I cheated on tests. They would be proud of that. I can't blame my upbringing for my faults. I can blame for some of them. I can blame my upbringing for not being the Talmud Chacham I could have been, maybe. That's my parents' fault, maybe. But not for the sins that I did. My parents didn't encourage me to do sins. I allowed them to happen. The environment was tough. That's my parents' fault, maybe. But I had choices. My friends were in the environment I was in. Not everyone did the same thing I did. That's on me. That was on me also. And we have to, as Rafi said, you have to start, you know, look in the mirror and say, that's on me, in order, as a step of truth, that it's not their fault. It's really my fault also.
So you don't regret, like, where you grow. Like, you don't regret the environment you were born into.
But correct. That's where God placed me. That's the right thing for me to be in for myself. But I can regret that when I was in that environment, I failed tests. Right?
Yeah.
I could have been in a certain school, and there are people in that school that I was in that did not do what I did. They didn't do it. Now, you might be among, and by the way, you could be among the better ones in your school. But in this area, my friends were better than this, and they didn't do what I did. And therefore, that's on me.
I think I'm more, I don't know how to regret things. I think it's easier to be disappointed in yourself than to be regretful of the things that you did in the past. Like, I could be disappointed in myself that I failed the test.
So what does it mean, disappointed? It means that I
it's like, come on, you're better than
which
that.
Means I wish I hadn't done it.
No, I agree with Judah. There's a difference between disappointment and regret. Regretting is difference. Like...
That means it's not real true for them. If you're disappointed but you don't regret it, then what does that mean then?
So then we have to redefine what regret means.
Or tell me what disappointment means. I think disappointment means I wish I hadn't happened. I wish it would have been better results. If you lose a sports game, I'm disappointed
wish,
I lost.
You can't wish something didn't happen.
Of course I can.
You can't change what happened.
No, I'd say I can't change it. But I can be disappointed. I can regret it.
Exactly.
So why can't I be... That's regretting it. Regretting does not mean that I can change it. It means I just wish it hadn't happened. No?
There's a level of disappointment that's like, okay, that sucks that it happened, but like maybe the results will be good. And then there's a level of disappointment that like, I wish that never happened. There's like two levels. Is that what you're trying to say? That it's easier for the first level.
That may be true.
The first
right.
level's not full
that's tshuva. Not full tshuva,
that's
correct.
What we're saying.
I mean, when a person loses, let's say someone comes in second place in the big tournament, and you know, so he's disappointed he didn't win. But you're like, you know what? I'm disappointed, but I had a good year. I'm proud of that. So that's not true, you know. But someone who says like, that's it, I will not let this happen again. I'm going to train off season. I'm going to eat better. So that person is a different attitude he's taking. He's not. You know, I wish I would have won, but I'm supposed to write a few in the photos now. I asked him. He just came back. You know, to he just landed now. I asked him how his team did. How his fly football team did. He's like. He said, no, he said, we could have done better, but we got a lot, there's a lot we grew from the experience. Okay? So now, obviously, he wishes, that they did better, but is it to an extent where he's not losing sleep over it? I don't know if he is, maybe he is or not. But if you feel like, I will not, this cannot happen again, and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. So it's a different level of disappointment and disappointment.
That's future-oriented, not past-oriented.
But I feel so bad about what happened that I wish it hadn't happened. I'm going to do things in the future. I can't change that. I'll do things right now for my future to make sure that never happens again. Not like, shame, I hope it doesn't happen again. No, that will never happen again. I can't believe I let that happen in the first place even. Yeah.
Could it be that by regretting it, you're basically saying that if I was at the moment that I was right before committing the sin, that I wish I had not committed the sin. But now, in retrospect, that I've already seen a future, that I wouldn't go back now. But if it was at that moment right now, that I wouldn't do
it. Not enough.
It's not enough.
So think about something very important to you.
Isn't the enemy that you know better than the enemy that you don't know?
Yeah, it's true, but think about it. Give you something really, like a really, really, really important thing. Let's say that the most important thing in the world, say a wife, okay? And a person, Nebuch, slipped up. Would you ever be like, well, now that it happened, anything that's so important to you, you wouldn't be like, now that it happened, at least I can grow from it. No, you'd be like, I cannot believe I let that happen, and I'm a terrible person. I mean, I'm not. And I will never, I can't let that happen, even if she doesn't find out about it, ever again. Now, as you go into things of different value levels to you, obviously, I cheat on a test. I cheated my whole way through high school, but never in college. Never. I mean, after that, never cheated in college. I can't imagine cheating in college. Do I regret cheating in high school?
Everyone did it.
It's true. Everyone did it. Do I go back and think, no, I don't. I don't think about it at all, even. But that's because I didn't do proper tshuva then. I didn't do tshuva properly in cheating in high school. I didn't do tshuva on it. I should feel like I was a liar, and I wasn't honest, and
essentially, what we're saying is that if we had a time machine to go back to any time before we committed a sin, that we should in theory do that.
You should want to go. You should want to go to a time machine and go back from any sin. Absolutely. How could you not?
Because then it could be this. The reason why you cannot is that you wouldn't know the future. You wouldn't know how to say.
But all I know right now, all I know is that I can't imagine the future being better if I did the right thing. Being worse if I did the right thing. How could it ever be a worse future?
You did the right thing in the past, and then you did the wrong thing the next day. Could just be one of the choices. You did the right thing that day.
I'll give you a muscle, and I'll get to this question.
No, right. I hear what you're saying, because obviously you're doing the right thing. But
my students ask me often, some people in this room probably asked me this last year, they ask me often, I'm really tired, Rabbi. I always say Rabbi. I'm really tired, Rabbi. In the beginning of the year, I say Rebbe at the end, but the beginning is Rabbi. I'm really tired, Rabbi. Either I can go to sleep now at 9:45, and I'll come back at 11:15, 11:30. I'll be up for the last half hour Seder and go to Shir Strong. Or I could stay right now, but there's probably a good chance that I'm going to sleep through and miss Shir. I'll be able to stay awake for it. So I always tell them the same thing. You have right now two choices in front of you, right? You can take a nap, or you can stay here right now. I don't know what's going to be in the future. I don't know what's going to happen. But right now, one is better than the other one is. Just do the better one right now. Where life takes you, who knows? Maybe you'll surprise yourself. Maybe you'll even be able to save the entire Seder and the entire Shir. Maybe not. But I'll never plan on failure right now for better success in the future, because I don't. That's a Shema. It's something called Bar Yiv Shema. Bar Yiv Shema means certainty, and maybe certainty always wins. Right now, there's a good thing that could happen. And that's a certainty. And the other one is a bad thing. Maybe the outcome is better if you do the bad thing. Maybe, maybe not. But certainly, right, when those two things are upon you, the better one's better, certainly. So Bar Yiv Shema, Bar Yiv, always go with certainty. Always. Yeah.
I think that part of the fact that we have to say that God gave us this thing called regret, or the halacha of regret, because built into that is that you're not going to go back in time and fix it, because we can't. So then the only thing you're going to be left with is, I wish it didn't happen, and the only way I can change that is that in the future I'm not going to do it. I think the regret, the only outcome we have from regret is the future aspect, because since nothing in the past is going to change, the only thing you can take from the regret is the future aspect.
So this is suggesting over here that because there's no chance to go back, this discussion is more futile, but the point of it is, dafka, that you can't go back, and all we can do by wanting to go back is to regret, which is the point of tshuva anyways.
Because I'm saying, if you feel like what I did in the past made who I am today, and that's fine, I don't disagree with that at all, but I said the first thing, you could have the hobby, you're like, okay, now I have this affair that I could do, maybe it's going to make me happy, because it worked back then, maybe it's going to work right now. But if you have true regret and say, I wish I didn't do that, you won't do it again.
Correct. So that's the difference between true, you're saying the danger of saying, well, look, I grew from it, You know, if it doesn't kill you, it only makes you better. So I grew from it.
I don't think it's inaccurate. I think it's dangerous to say that that's the mindset.
Okay, I agree, and I also think you can't. Yeah, your job is, again, as I always say all the time, life is not that hard. I mean, it's very hard, but what I mean is not hard is that you have like just one test at a time in front of you. Right now, you have a test. You know, let's say your test is you wake up tomorrow morning at 7:20, and you're showing a bet, and your Sean roommate is going to be like, oh, my Sean bet roommate's not getting up on time. What do I have to get up for? He's not getting up. So you have a test right now. Jump out of bed. I don't mean like, hey guys. But like, do I say like, get up, guys, come on, get up, or, you know. It's right now, that's your only test right now. That's your only test. It's just one test at a time. That's all that you have. And you pass that test, another test comes later on. Life is just, it's just a stream of tests. What I mean by that is that there's so many, I'm breaking down life into very simple things. Life is a much bigger thing, a stream of tests. But if we break it down just like you know, like screen by screen or what's called in a movie, you know, frame by frame, thank you, frame by frame, it's just a moment, do the right thing, next moment, do the right thing. If you do moment by moment, then in the end, without looking too much in advance, you do the right thing all the time. I'll give you my favorite muscle for this, and I think it's true. We're going to learn about and I mentioned my shmooze probably last year to my guys in my shir, when Rachel gave Leah Yaakov, right? So she, you know, Leah was crying. Leah was being replaced for Rachel under the chuppah, and why was Leah so sad? Because she understood that there were two children that, you know, in her family, and two children with Yaakov and Esav, and the older to the older, younger to the younger, they're going to marry each other off. And Leah didn't want to marry to Esav, and she cried and cried and cried. In the end, they wanted to flip Rachel to Leah, and Rachel helped out. Do you think it dawned on Rachel for a second that she's left with the monster, with Esav?
Could be.
How in the world could you possibly give? It's one thing to share, but to make your destiny, and all for all she knew it was, to make your destiny now, instead of being the matriarch of the Jewish people, with the biggest tzaddik, but to make it with the biggest Russia, that's more than just like giving up, you know, helping your sister out, you know, throwing her a bone, lending her a hand. That's like, that's spiritual suicide. How in the world could you possibly do that? And according to Yaakov Shweki, that's what she did. Yaakov Shweki says in the song, yet her sister's shame, not her shattered dreams, took hold of her heart and her senses. Mama Rachel. So the point is that she, in her mind, understood that her dreams were now shattered. She would no longer get him. How could you possibly do that? Yeah, he wrote it. That's true. He wrote it. Shweki sang it. He wrote it. So I think the pshat is again, I'm saying simple. It's not simple at all. Is that right now, she had a single test on her hand. Her sister right now is under the chuppah and about to be humiliated. And she holds the cards to stop that from happening. That's the test. What happens afterwards, who knows? Who would know that he matched her? I don't know. No one has a clue. But your job right there is to do the right thing. That's the only thing you can do. Do the right thing. And we'll see what happens afterwards. But it's life is not about like fast-forwarding and playing. We don't have a clue what's going to happen. We just know what happens right now. Your job right now is, you know, I was speaking to someone, you know, even this past summer. You have, let's say, an opportunity to come back, let's say, and learn here, you know, in Yeshiva Shana Bet. But then you have, like, what happens though? What happens next? What about my college plans? What about this? So at the end of the day, what's the best thing for you right now? Don't be irresponsible. What's the best thing for you right now? So if you can, come back. And there's something. What's going to be? Who knows what's going to be? But if you choose the right thing each time, you don't think God's going to get your back also? And by the way, getting your back might even mean that you have what looks to you like a terrible result from it. That might be getting your back also. We don't have a clue what God has in mind for us. We just believe that how could the right choice lead you in the wrong direction? Ezra.
One thing about that, well, I think, what if the version of yourself that sinned first could be better than if you didn't sin?
So that is hard for me, yeah.
Because I think there's something like doing something right and wrong, but I think it could be more than that, how you do it. If you're going to do the right thing every time, but there's no excitement in doing it, as opposed to if you had sinned before, and then now you can't overcame that sin, how much better to do the right thing.
Let's take a good look. Excellent. So this idea is actually, Ezra's this guy right now, and Noah's backing me up, there's an idea that B'bachem Shabbal Tshuva Omeid, Ain't so the Gomer Yachol Lamod Bo. Where Baal Tshuva stands, it's how the Gomer can't even stand. So Ezra will tell you the reason why, because when he walks by a cheeseburger, he's like, I don't taste like it. I'm not going to have it. As opposed to Tzai, he's like, I don't even want it anymore. I don't even ever wanted it. That's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't think that a person who never sinned could be overtaken by someone who did sin. Even though I agree with you, the amount of fire, if you do a mitzvah in the proper way, there's no reason why you can't create fire. You don't need to do an avera to create fire. You shouldn't need to. It might be harder to create fire by not never doing things wrong, but you shouldn't need to do an avera to create a fire.
I'm not saying that I'd rather one or the other, but right now we're talking about we all have sinned.
Correct.
So I'm looking at that part of it saying maybe it's not the worst thing. Maybe I'd rather have done the right thing.
So that's what I'm going to ask you. Ezra Quinn, so now you're going to have a family one day. Do you raise your kids now? I mean, it's a hard question to ask. I was going to answer, but to make the mistakes that you made, or prevent them from making those mistakes in the future? Because what you're suggesting,
I want to prevent them from making the same mistakes I made. But I think it's realistic to think that they're going to have their own.
That may be true. That's true.
And who doesn't have struggles in life?
But if you could, would you help them with those struggles also, not to have those struggles? I mean, would you want your kids to never make a mistake ever in life if you could?
Yeah, but I don't think.
It's not possible.
It's not realistic.
I agree with you. But you would
also healthy to go. To grow as a person and healthy, to go through struggles.
That's true, but struggle doesn't mean you have to make a sin. It could be you have a struggle in life because someone treated you wrong.
Also, realistically, sin.
But yeah, everyone says it's true. But you yourself would try to avoid your kids from doing it, even though you're saying right now you believe. I think when we say, and I say the same thing as you do, but we say that I think we're trying to just make ourselves feel a little better, which we're allowed to. We're allowed to just emotionally, but intellectually, we're not going to get rid of the kids that way.
I think that when my kid sins or has a struggle, there's going to be disappointment, obviously, because you don't want to see your kid go through that. But in the back of your mind, I think you have to understand that that's part of growing
up. Yeah, absolutely.
Part of life.
You're
upset, a little upset, but you have to understand.
Absolutely, for sure. I agree with you. As a parent, you have to understand, and you're disappointed at a minimal level. But you're not. You know, it's life. It's part of life. But you don't want to make the same mistakes you made, even though those mistakes may have given you extra fire. There's one exception. I think the one exception, but the person in Tanakh who lived the way Ezra's describing is Yisro. We're told that Yisro, that he served every single Avodah Zarah in the book until he came to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not only that, but the Medrash says that he made Moshe Rabbeinu promise. This is found in Sichos. Moshe has a beautiful piece about this topic. Moshe Rabbeinu promise that he would raise, or he would let one of his children go to Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Yisro understood that when you have experiences in life, those experiences, when you find that Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you've dabbled in areas and you realize those are bad things to do in the end, and you come to on your own, so that's a different level. So there's an idea. Yisro had that mentality. I do not think that's a Jewish mentality, though there is definitely something for us to understand, having gone through what we went through, that is certainly true in some ways. Yeah, Rafi. Took a long time to get to you. Forgot. Yeah. You get back to me then. Last halacha, then we'll stop. Last halacha. Kol mitzvah b'dvarim v'lo gamar halacha gimel. Kol mitzvah b'dvarim v'lo gamar b'libo lazov harei zeh dom l'tov v'sharet b'yado. A person who here's something very important also. We're going to do this in Yom Kippur in a few days from now. I mean, hopefully not this, but we're going to do vidui. Whenever you do vidui b'dvarim, and you're not gomer belibo lazov, and you do not commit in your mind to really get better at those things, how is it doma l'tov? It's like going to mikvah with the sheret v'yada with a tummy object in your hands. Shena tzvila mo'elis ad yashlich hasheret. Doing vidui and not committing to it doesn't really, what does that mean? You're confessing to things that you don't really plan on changing right now. The tefillah does not work until you get rid of the sheretz. V'cheinu Omer, as it says, umode v'ozev yerucham. Only the one who admits and leaves it, then there'll be mercy upon that person. That's the Rambam over here is point. It's a very important point also. We actually say one of the al-chayt we say is an al-chayt for hitting my heart, not meaning it. As I'm hitting my heart. Do I mean that one? Do I mean that one even? So we know we do this all the time. Now, how am I supposed to really hit my heart and mean it when I know I did the same thing? And again, maybe you guys are still younger in the process. But you all doubt in your kid. But let's say last year you really tried to get better. Let's say you haven't even. I'm someone who's tried to get better many years, and I still fail. At some point in time, don't we know we're going to fail anyways? I hit my heart. I'm not going to speak less anymore. I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have this past year. I'm sure I have today. I didn't realize, but I'm sure I did today. Isn't it hard to be like gomer belibo lazov when I did the same thing the last 20 years of my life, and each time I wasn't ozev it? Isn't it like logical that I hit my heart, I'm telling myself, I'm not going to do it. I probably will, though. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can say that, but if you actually genuinely think that you want to change, then you forget, you still put in effort, and you forget about that you might sin or not. You give yourself a chance, even though the odds aren't in your favor, if you still put in effort.
Excellent, good.
It's as if you're
and even more than that, if I could somehow take myself right now, and I like put it in a bottle. So every day of my life, Revolvi brings down and says that when you daven, he says you can never, and this is a very hard thing to imagine, I'm not like this for sure, He said you should never have the same davening twice, ever in your life, ever. He gives a mashal. He says, imagine you're driving, you're on a train, and the train's moving. You close your eyes for 5 seconds, open your eyes up. You have a different vantage point now because you've moved whatever miles per hour you've been moving, 5 seconds down the road. You have a different angle now than you had before. Even if it's a big plane, a big field, you're still 5 seconds down the road than you were before. And if you went through life and you experienced things in life and you learned a Torah, interacted with a fellow man, you know, heard a funny story, whatever it was, something sad you cried about, you're a different person. Now, how could you down the same way ever again? So we go through life and we sin afterwards because we're not the same person we were in Yom Kippur even. But right, if you can imagine someone on Yom Kippur during the Ela, right, the arms open, Hashem, Hu Elokim, right, we're saying it 7 times, and all of a sudden it's like, I told you that guy did the craziest thing, the funniest story this guy just did, I want to tell you. Would you ever, like even, would you be, do you hear the basement erupting right now? Do you see the Aron Kodesh, everyone dressed in white, you want to tell me Lashon Hara on Yom Kippur as it's ending? You would never listen to that. If you could take that and bottle it up, and you open that bottle every moment of your life, you would actually never sin ever again. You would never, ever sin. But as Ezra pointed out, we're not like that. We have experiences that which change us, we forget about things, and therefore, you can hit your heart in that moment in time, knowing that you do something wrong later on, but right, if I had to, that moment right now, when I say, you know, I'll keep it out of aim. Right now, if they were here, my parents were here right now, I'd do anything for my parents. I'll do anything for them. Okay, it's true, when I go back home, and I'm there for 2 days, I'm like, oh my gosh, again, they're asking for a favor. But until that happens, right now, if I could bottle myself up and just open myself up every day, this guy would never do anything wrong ever again. So it's real. Yeah.
Also, definitely, if you never said, like, if you had the mentality, like, I've done it 20 times, and today already, like, I'm not even going to, like, ask for forgiveness for it, it's bad attitude, like, should I just, like, try? And also, if you have the mentality, like, I want to get better, maybe 5 times over the entire year, you'll have a chance to speak Lashon Hara.
And I won't, I'll save myself a few times.
Like, even if it's 5 times the whole year, I'm saying, like...
No, so it's definitely very worthwhile, but my question only is, if a proper vidur requires gomer belibo, then even though it's for sure worth it to do these things, to get better anyway at all, but then it's not. Then we probably call ourselves that we don't really have proper vidui. True then, because we definitely know in our heart that we're going to...
Do have proper vidui, even though we know we're going
to
do it again?
So that's what I'm saying, that right at this moment in time, right now, yeah, right now I think that every person, right when that moment happens, when you're in the Shemoneh Esrei, and you're saying, Lashon Hara, right that second, someone's like, yes, when you're done, I want to tell you something. This funny thing happened, this kid, what a fool. You're like, well, are you kidding me? That's real.
Do you believe it's Tshuva Gemurah, even though, like, you know that you don't always exist in that body?
That moment in time, yeah, Tshuva Gemurah. Now, it could be later on in life. You might fail again. But for that moment in time, because Rechel will testify about you right now, you would never do that later, ever. Now, our goal is to bow it up forever. We have experienced life which kind of, like, either wears down or we forget about it. But that is our goal. Yeah, Judah.
And put you on the Revolvi.
Yeah.
If the muscles that you're... If you're on a train, you're moving, you have a different vantage point. And like Lameimer, if you're living life, automatically you have a different vantage point when you're davening.
You should.
Not even trying.
No, what it means is that unless you don't think. You, anyone here davening just didn't think about anything? They just like said words? And you're like, you know, next thing you know, you're like, Modim, you're like, how did I get here? Like, then you're like, not with that, but you're like, and did I hit stuff on it? Isn't it Shabbos? You ever do that? Like, you're like, what? Wait, what? Like, they're like,
scratch it off.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, anyone, and you only hit once. Usually, that's the first time you're like, what did I just do? And then you like hit twice. You're like, what's wrong with me? Where am I? So that happens sometimes, right? All the time. That happens all the time. Point is that you, it's not, if you, it's a natural thing if you think what you're talking about. If you don't think what you're talking about, then it could be, you just easily just kind of just like go through motions, which you know by heart already. You just didn't make it real to yourself. So if you make it real, then it should, for sure, with a minimal level of effort of thought, there are times when you just don't, when you know what you're saying, but you don't, like, let's say someone's never sick, and you're diving right now for people who are ill, and you just forgot to put their name in there. You probably had in mind things that were different, but you forgot that person. But if you just have in mind your life, and your scenarios, and your surroundings, then there's never too much to be the same, unless you space out. Unless you're just chilling, in which case it would be it. You have a question before, I don't know. Okay, last part here, this halal chalom is stop. Tzarech lifrot is achid. You have to actually, what's lifrot mean? What's lifrot?
Specify.
Yeah, specify. You have to detail the chid. As it says, Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola v'yasu lahem elohei zahav. This nation did something terrible, they made a golden calf. That is probably the hardest thing to do, because usually when we miss something, we usually admit only part of it. You know, I was a little bit late today. But a little bit late? It wasn't all my fault. It was... We're very, even when we admit, we hedge our admission. We're very, you know, I'll admit enough to like take some blame, but I still try to pass some blame off also. It's very, to be porit achet means that there's not a part of, I admit to every single detail. That one's like Jasper beforehand, you know, it's not about being someone else, but you can't blame your parents. You can say, I grew up in this environment, what do you expect from me? What do you mean? I expect from you more than that. You know that because you know at the time you did it, it wasn't right. And it's true, you were raised in a certain way, but you knew when you did it, that was not the thing to do. It's not like you're like, oh, I can't believe this is wrong. I know it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. Maybe you weren't trained, or maybe you're a friend, but bottom line is that you knew when you did it, it wasn't appropriate. If your parents found out, they'd be upset with you about it. They didn't raise you that way, but you do it anyways. So the point of here is to be porate a chait is a very humbling thing. As we said before, and you know, if you say that loud, even we say everything out loud, but everyone says everything out loud. We all say the same, you know, al chesh avanecha bevidoy peh, whatever it might be. But most people just say the words, but stop for a point between each one of them. There's actually in the back of the article sitter. I don't know if you ever used it before, but there's this vidoy, that paragraph. I remember the first time I looked at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did that one? I never thought I did that one before. And like, Michal Meliel explains, what this means is, if you have, I'm like, okay, I did that one too. If you understood that there's not a thing that you're talking about, that you probably did almost all of them. In some fashion, maybe not the worst way, but in some fashion. You know, belatzon, with mockery. Yeah, I made a joke one time about a rabbi when no one was around. I made a joke. Oh, yeah, there's big headed Schneider walking or small headed Schneider walking by. You know, like you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But what you could, there's so many things that you could do. Even think. He didn't think that way. He didn't even say to anybody. So like the level of ability to take you know inspiration just like went down a notch. You don't say anything even about it. The key is that when you're poor, you don't say the words, but you actually know what they mean. When you have a sitter, you look before you say the alachet. Turn to the back there. It's a whole different world when you see what these things really, really mean between, you know, between the lines, behind the scenes. And it makes it, when you say them and you really think, you close your eyes between each one of them. And it's not like, you know, it's hard when the chasnu, you're saying, Ashamnu, by God. So it's very hard because you're trying to keep up pace. But when you're doing it by yourself, you're like, Ashamnu, you know, wow, that's bad. And I did that one, you know, and you say like, Ashamnu. And you hear, you're poor the chayt. You're poor. It's not just the general word, but you actually understand what you're saying. It's very, very crucial to our development process and our tshuva process. So I'm over here. Hopefully our goal, again, we only got three lechos, but our goal is to finish, if we can, the parak tomorrow. It'll be a tall order. But we'll see what we can do. All right? Shkach, boys, for taking your time.